Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Johnson Phillips. I am the content developer at Empower Source, and this is the Empower Source Fill Up podcast. I am here today with two subject matter experts. We're going to talk about business continuity planning. Very exciting stuff. I'm here today with Andrew Blaze, the general manager of Proactive Information Management. And I'm also here with Angela Simmons, the founder and principal consultant at Centrivance Consulting. And they are both our resident experts in all thing tech, all thing compliance, all thing emergencies. What else are y'all experts in?
Everything.
Everything. Angela knows all the things. So we're good. We got you covered today.
I know all the things.
All the things. How about Andrew? Do you know at least some of the things?
I do have surface knowledge. Yes.
Awesome. So we've got a resident expert on all the things and what it sounds like a jack of all trade on some of the things. So we have set ourselves up for success to talk about business continuity. Andrew, do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do at Proactive Information Management? What do you do at PIM?
Sure. So I'm the general manager of Proactive. Interestingly enough, this is my third week on the job. Prior to that, I was a 23-year veteran of United States Air Force and spent 8 years in state and local government and decided to make the switch and come to the private sector. So yeah, three weeks on the job and trying to make as many changes as I possibly can that are going to actually help us grow and focus on customer experiences.
That is fantastic. Thank you for your service. I know I'm going to piggyback on this. I feel really super lazy because I'm right now talking to two veterans. Angela, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Centrivance.
So my name's Angela, and I am the managing partner and co-founder of Centrivance Consulting. And our major focus is on regulatory compliance. It doesn't matter what business you're in. There's always some kind of regulation. There's always some kind of compliance that's behind that. Having Andrew on today is good because the compliance piece, the regulatory compliance piece, what the rules actually say, and then how we involve IT in that, it all goes hand in hand. And so you always have to have a good blend, a good team that can make sure that not just are we meeting the tenets of the rule, but in order to meet those tenets of the rule, what do we need on the security side? What do we need from those IT guys to make sure that everything stays safe and stays operational?
Yeah, because I would imagine, as we get more into talking exactly what a business continuity plan is, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to think, okay, when things are in disarray, when you're sort of caught off guard in the middle of an emergency, whether it be, I don't know, a global pandemic or it's 2020, where maybe it's murder hornets, maybe it's a hurricane, that would be a prime time for bad actors to come into play and take advantage of someone who is not prepared for the emergency.
Well, and it's not just the bad actors, right? Because business continuity is about so much more than that. It's is that a component of it? Is that a very important component of it? Absolutely. But I think COVID-19 has shown the light on that it really is more than just a piece of the IT world.
Correct. Okay. Well, that's a good thing. That'll sort of get me up to my first question. Just pretend I am not smarter than a fifth grader and explain to me what is business continuity and why is it important?
So business continuity is designed to mitigate any incident that's going to impact your critical businesses. So it could be IT, and Andrew will be able to speak to that. Sometimes it is that whatever the emergency or the incident that's happened, while it didn't necessarily impact our ability to access the internet, to access some of our resources, it may have impacted our ability to go into work. It may have impacted our ability to have access to certain things at work. So then how do we get those types of things back? So right now we look at COVID-19 and we need to evaluate, how's COVID-19 impacting my ability to work, my employees' ability to work? How does it impact my ability to provide services to the people that make up my customer base? What has to continue regardless? What do I have to keep doing day to day for my business to run? And we were talking earlier, and Andrew talked about, businesses that have lost everything during COVID-19. whether that was because there was no business continuity disaster recovery plan in place, whether that was because they just economically could not withstand this type of an emergency. So what do we have to keep doing? What can wait a few days? What can wait a few weeks? What can wait longer? And what do I need, right? So it's not, if my employees are all working from home, what do I need to provide? Am I just expecting them to have their own computers and printers and copiers and give them access? Or are we providing those things so that we continue to provide the safest experience for our clients? So a whole lot goes into thinking about what we need in business continuity.
So how can you, what are some of the, we talked about the big ones, I think, like economic factors and pandemics, and I've mentioned hurricanes, you know, particularly as we get ready to head into hurricane season, which the audacity of 2020 to even have one of those. What are some things, Andrew, that maybe we're not thinking about? What are some crises that do come up that could cause your business to disrupt?
So I can think of a couple off the bat. You know, you already talked about the natural disasters, the hurricane, the flood, the tornadoes. But from a technological standpoint, look at ransomware. Although it's not necessarily in the news as prevalent as it was, that is extremely disruptive to some organizations. When you have something that is taking over your computers and your systems and your backend infrastructure, and basically people are demanding money from you, depending on what is going on behind the scenes, that can be extremely disruptive. Another one is look internally, workplace violence, active shooter scenarios. We've seen an uptick of those over the past several years. And again, COVID-19 has kind of, shown the light on a pandemic, but workplace violence is still a factor in disrupting operations, and having a business continuity plan to at least look at some of those incidents is key.
I think too, as I think about this, we have touched on these huge business continuity plans, these huge things that can affect a business as a whole. But, as we are here in summer, just me personally, as I'm trying to plan my vacation that's coming up, I actually, in terms of business continuity, have to think, okay, who's going to do my job for the next week? So you also, I think, have to, in light of coronavirus, let's say your CEO gets sick and is out for a month. I would think that who's going to play second fiddle is going to be part of that continuity plan. Who's everybody's backup? That it's not just your technology that may need a backup, but your people. You may need to have a plan in place for your people to be backed up as well. Is that something that also comes into play in a business continuity plan?
I think what you have just touched on is one of the most important reasons behind business continuity. So what do we need to be able to continue to do to provide the services that we need to our clients, to our customer base, to our patients, and who's going to provide it? Because if you think right now about COVID-19, and let's go back to when we really first started paying more attention to business continuity in the U.S., Hurricane Katrina was a wake-up call. We have a hurricane that comes in that wipes out basically an entire city. And now we have businesses that are impacted. We have medical offices that are impacted. We have people's lives that are impacted. We have people who are dying because we don't have a way to take care of these people. And we certainly don't have a way to access any of the information that we need in order to take care of these people appropriately. So it's about understanding that anything can happen at any time. And if we can understand that part of it, right, then we think about all of the things that we're going to need. Who's going to help us? Who, if Angela's not available, if Andrew's not available, if any of the people that work for us and with us that provide the different aspects of our business, do we have somebody else cross-trained? Do we have somebody that we can get to help us with those aspects? Or are we really in a position where if this happens, now we're going to have to decide how risk averse we are. Now we're going to have to decide if we can withstand that and how long we can withstand it.
And if I could point out too, you mentioned Katrina, which is a fantastic point. When that went through there and just decimated that entire area, communication systems were down. Cell service was down. You know, the first responders, EMS, fire, police, they had priority as far as communication, right? So you had a huge swath of the population that just could not communicate with each other. You know, cell service just wasn't available to them. They just couldn't get a signal because of everything that was going on. And so when you have something like a business continuity plan, you have to plan on, you know, what are my outlets for communication? How do we continue to have our business, you know, if at all, continue through this process?
So, you know, with what Andrew said, I think one of the major issues that we face and part of why we have the podcast today is sometimes I think that we really in business on the whole, no matter where you're at, but I see it a lot here in the U.S. It's like we've got these short-term memory problems. Hurricane Katrina happened, and I watched during that time frame with Hurricane Katrina that everybody started thinking about business continuity and disaster recovery. I was working in the North Carolina Community College System at that time, and we started developing, we didn't have those before, but we started developing our business continuity disaster recovery plans. And that included every department saying, okay, here's how many students we service. Here's what we do with those students. Here's what we need to be able to continue to do those things with our students in an emergency type situation. And we saw the same thing happen in healthcare. The HIPAA rules require that you have that business continuity disaster recovery plan. But here we are in 2020 and COVID-19 occurs and everybody's sitting looking around at, could we have planned for this? Should we have planned for this? So I think it's shining that light back on it again, that it's, you know, I think we just all too often, and this is what I see very often with my clients, is I've got an IT company or I have X vendor, they back up my data, we're good. I don't need anything else. But
like, are you good?
Yeah.
I mean, I think too, we can all sort of say, I mean, to some degree, global pandemic, I mean, this is a new thing. Sure, maybe if we looked at history and realized it comes every 100 years, sure, we could have predicted it. But in general, no one could have predicted, to some degree, COVID-19. But everyone could have been better prepared to pivot, to not necessarily be to not be at square one in terms of business continuity. And so how do we develop a business continuity plan? I think everyone listening now understands, okay, emergencies are going to happen and we need to be prepared. So how do we prepare? How do we develop a business continuity plan? And who needs to be involved in that process?
So before we address that, I'd like to back up and kind of pivot off of something that you just said. You know, we should know that something could happen. And so one of the things that I tell all of my clients, business continuity and disaster recovery is like medical emergencies. So here's the thing. When you are working, we know on any average day that we can prevent about 90% of medical emergencies by simply knowing who our patients are, by reviewing those health histories, by making sure that everybody's aware of who's the patient, what the issue is when they're in our practice. The other 10% are going to happen no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And so the question becomes, what do you do about that 10%? And the answer is you prepare and you train because you know it's going to happen or it could happen at any time. And so because of that, I prepare for that and I train for that. And I make sure that everybody knows what it looks like, what we should be doing so that hopefully when it comes along, we're better prepared to respond.
And because you've already in due diligence avoided 90% of the things that could go wrong.
Yes, that is exactly right. So, you know, when we're looking at it, you know, you compare it to that medical emergency. So if I'm going to prepare, and I know Andrew will be able to speak, you know, really strongly to the IT aspect of it. It's, you know, the business continuity is designed to mitigate the incidents and what their impact is on your critical businesses. And so what are the things that I have to think about, right? I've got to think about how do I continue? How do I, you know, continue to provide our services? What do I need to continue to work? where can I perform the work, if not at our primary location? And you've got to have that perfect balance between IT. So what are the things that Andrew needs to be able to do to ensure that your business continues to run? And you've got to have the business side. So who understands what's happening within the business, or who can help you evaluate what your processes are? So business impact analysis, what do you do? What do you need? How important is it? What are you going to need in the end run to make sure it still works? Top management needs to be involved. You need to make sure that your employees are involved, because they're the ones that are going to be impacted as well. So, you know, unless you've got somebody that is skilled or has the expertise in regulatory compliance and IT and business continuity, you need a good partner for it, right? And this is going to require somebody who understands rules. It's going to require somebody who understands business continuity and how to evaluate that. It's going to require a good IT company, a professional IT company, and it's likely going to involve somebody to help you with communications as well. So totally holistic approach. Identify your risks or identify risks and threats. What are your risk strategies? What's your risk tolerance? And then create your plan. And then finally, it's not a one-time deal. It is continuous. So how are we going to continue to evaluate and test and set scenarios so that we kind of understand just a little bit better when things go bad? What are we going to do?
Do you have anything to add to that, Andrew?
Well, she just covered the whole thing. I'm thinking, what could I add to that conversation? But I'll just, you know, briefly touch on a couple of the points she made. You know, you have to evaluate your risks. So you have to know what your business is about. You have to know what your business processes are about. And once you can evaluate those risks, what she was discussing, you need to take a look at your likely threat scenarios. Now, how likely is A, B, and C going to happen? Is it a low priority? Is it a medium priority, high priority? And then you kind of take a look at that and you kind of focus your efforts. And as far as having a plan, you know, that's a living document, right? I mean, that's not something that just gets a one-time deal and you throw in your desk drawer and you walk away. That's a living document. And there could be a lot of changes that come with that, depending on if it's IT infrastructure, or maybe you have a new process, or maybe you have a core group of people that have left the company or the organization, and you have new people coming into those roles. They need to understand what's going on. And as far as having, you know, who's involved in that, you really should have some type of business continuity team, and it's going to be made up from a variety of folks across the organization. You're definitely going to want some managers in there. You're going to want the managers, because they're going to be able to make sure that the resources are available. And also, a big point is to make sure that the goals are in line with the business processes, right? You want to make sure that you're in line with what is accomplishing or trying to accomplish across that business. And of course, you've got your task oriented people as well. You know, they're the ones that are probably during the course of an incident, they're the ones that are, you know, actually performing all the work or trying to get everything up and running. And it's extremely important that everybody knows their role and their responsibility, especially when an incident happens.
That's so, a good point. You know, one of the things that I have discovered in the last 15 minutes is I'm really proud of MCH Concepts and our family of businesses, because I sit here on this podcast today and I think that Andrew helps us to very definitively identify and explain that it really does take, you know, that proverbial village, right? Mm-hmm. We have put together a group of businesses and experts that can really help through this entire thing. We've got the IT and we've got the compliance and we have the communications piece. And so I think that, you know, on the whole, our organization can offer that very holistic, very holistic response and direction, instruction, and plans where our clients need them.
Because it does take a sort of the technological piece, the regulatory piece, the communications piece. So I like to think they're sort of the proverbial stool, you know, three legs of a stool, so that we can set this business continuity plan on. Because it's great if you have all your tech in place and you have all your ducks in a row for, you have your plan in place, your regulations, but if your customers have not been communicated that this has happened, or if your employees don't know what's going on through ineffective communications, that it's really not, you've missed the boat there as well. And so I just think that you really have hit the nail on the head that we have been able to sort of collectively come together and feed into one another. But as I think about sort of a couple of the emergencies that I personally have encountered in terms of, let's just say, you know, it's 2020. Let's talk in terms of COVID-19. In terms of business continuity plan, does this include, I mean, I already know the answer to this question, but does this include having a work from home policy in writing?
A business continuity plan, let me preface that with, you can have processes all day, but if you don't have them documented, you really have nothing. And so it absolutely needs to be a documented plan. So, you know, let's look at COVID-19, how quickly that occurred. Let's look at Katrina, right? One day you're at work and the next day you're not. How do I make sure that all of my employees who may be able to work from home, how do I make sure that they know exactly what they're supposed to do? Right. So we have this plan. And if I only had this plan out on SharePoint or out on, you know, some network drive, and now we don't have internet, how are we going to all come together and do what we're supposed to do? So this is something that's got to be well communicated. And we have to, again, that contingency plan, right? How are we going to access this plan in a time of emergency? And does everybody know where to access it? Or have we provided those hard copies? We live in a very electronic world, but this is a situation where you got to think ahead, right? If something bad happens, so COVID-19, we've still got internet. Hurricane Katrina, we don't have internet. Mm-hmm. Ransomware, we may not have access to our information. So where do I go and access what our plan is so that I can be reminded of what my role is? And this is what we do for this very specific part of business continuity disaster recovery.
Yeah, I mean, because it's great if you have the policy, but if no one knows where it is, it's not so great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because people can't follow a plan that they don't know.
Well, I think that's one of the issues that we have had and that we continue to have. You know, I work with a lot of folks who have some really good processes in place. When I go in and I talk to them and I ask them about specific things that should be occurring, you know, because of regulatory compliance, because of looking at things like business continuity, disaster recovery, a lot of times I can say, do you have X? And their answer is, hey, yeah, I've got that. Where's it documented? Is it all together? Has it been brought together into a formal plan? And a lot of times that answer is no. So I know what the processes are, but I don't have anything that's documented, which means in case of an emergency, how do I know my team's going to be able to respond? Because we never wrote anything down. And we tend to panic during emergencies. I'm reminded of, it was a medical practice actually that was setting up their business continuity plan, disaster recovery. And they went through and they made all of their plans. We're in a totally electronic world, so they had an electronic record. And one of the things they didn't think about was if we lose internet, if we lose electricity, we lose internet, we still need to see patients, how are we going to document all of that? And the really cool thing about that situation was that there was a secretary who recognized that, you know what, if this happens, we're going to need all these paper forms. And she had, without anybody else's direction, anybody else's input, she went ahead and put a binder together with all of the forms that they could possibly need. And so when the emergency happened and everybody was panicking, she said, wait a minute, I've got this book and here's all of our forms, right? So that's something that we should be thinking about up front. What do we need and how can we access it if we're put in a situation where we can't get physically to it for whatever the reason is, we can't get to it through technology for whatever the reason is, how are we going to get access to the information to continue to run our business, to continue to meet client needs, to continue to care for our patients?
And especially when you're working from home, you know, how do you set the expectations to the employees, right? So if you were to say, okay, you know, you work, you know, 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 and you're coming into a traditional workplace and you can no longer do that and we send you home, are we going to expect you to do the exact same function that you were doing in a clinic or in a building? You're going to do the exact same thing home? Probably not. It's probably going to be a little bit different. But we need to be able to set those expectations and define, you know, who's going to work from home. And if we're going to have you work from home or work from a remote, you know, session, a remote office, did we give you the right tools to be successful? Because if we didn't, we're failing. You've got the communication channels, you know, what are your working hours and shift work and things of that nature. So everything has to kind of be reimagined, if you will, that whole dynamic of working from home. And actually, what does that really mean?
And I'm going to support Andrew here and the IT world from this. You know, this can't be something where we just say, well, everybody's got smartphones and everybody has their own computers, because it depends on the type of information that you're dealing with. It depends on the type of data that you're dealing with. Is it proprietary? Is it protected? If you're letting your employees use personal devices to access that proprietary information, to access that protected information or the personally identifiable information, how is it being secured on those computers? Have we thought that far into it? Are we providing them devices and using our IT company to make sure that those devices are secured and protected, and that if anything happens, that the IT company hopefully can see that and respond appropriately? When the device owns belongs to an individual who is working from their home, we really don't have a lot of control over what they do and don't do, and what kind of antivirus, what kind of firewall, if any, are they getting onto public Wi-Fi? Do they have their Wi-Fi at home secured? We don't have any of those answers. And so that is something that we really do have to think about. And that is a huge part of what we do in business continuity disaster recovery.
And it's a really good point, because if you take a look at, you know, if we provide the infrastructure, we provide the corporate devices, we have a lot of flexibility on what we can and do and monitor and things of that nature. But once you start talking about, you know, an employee using their personal devices, take a look at, you know, the Internet of Things, right? I'm just thinking in my house alone, I probably have close to 15, 16 devices just on my network. And all of them are different. They all do different functions. And when you open that up to folks that are working from home, you're opening up their entire network, basically up to your corporate data.
Oh, absolutely. Andrew, I don't know if you, I feel certain that you have, but there was just a really good article that came out. And so, you know, this kind of goes back to using personal devices, right? TikTok, which is pretty popular with our kids right now. I might be getting ready to make it unpopular with you. TikTok and about 32 other apps that are on the iOS platform are currently being looked at, not just by Apple, but actually by our government. Because the TikTok gathers data. It's not supposed to do that, but it gathers data off of your phone. Whatever's on your clipboard, it's snooping into your clipboard and it's into your clipboard and it's taking that data. The reason that TikTok right now is a big issue is because, and I know Andrew is aware of this. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right. Is it Huawei, the Chinese?
Oh, wait, yep.
Chinese chip. So that is something that we cannot and we do not use here in the United States, that it's been banned, especially in the government realm. And now with TikTok, because that is a part of the Chinese development, and there is a concern from the technical aspect that can be used to spy on, to steal data, to hack data from the U.S., the government's actually looking at TikTok as well. And so think about that. If you have one of your employees using their personal device to do your work, what else are they doing on that computer? Because when you download those free apps, when you check that little box at the end that says, I agree, do you know what you're agreeing to? Most of the time, you're agreeing to let them do whatever they want with your data. And so you just open yourself up to those types of risks. And that's something that an organization has to think about, because I think for us as, you know, the average citizen, we're just thinking TikTok's cool, it's fun, or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever all of the apps are that are out there. We're not thinking about the impact that it could have on our lives or it could have on the business that we work within or that we work for.
So what are some other, that's a definite security concern in terms of having sort of corporate owned laptops and things of that nature. What are some other technical concerns that a business continuity plan should include?
You gonna take that, Andrew?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're waiting on me for to answer that.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, that's okay. So as far as the technical piece, security is always a big piece. I mean, we kind of hit on that with Huawei and TikTok and a couple of those other ones. But I always take a look at planning for the future. So for instance, if you have a business, whatever your business is, and you don't, fundamentally provide financing, or you're looking at, your IT infrastructure. I'll just take IT infrastructure. If you're, 5 years behind on your IT infrastructure, or you're using outdated platforms or systems or things of that nature, I've seen multiple cases where people have had to transition from, say, one medical, piece of software over to another one just simply because it's not supported anymore, and it catches them unaware, and now they're behind the group. And some of those, medical transitions, that could take years, right? So I see planning as a big one. Just making sure that you understand the landscape and the scope of what is happening out there. Take a look at the products that you're actually using versus software versus hardware, and making sure you're adequately planning, putting money into a budget that you're going to have to spend. So you're not getting to the 12th hour and suddenly you're trying to figure out, what do I do now?
So, and I think with that, one of the things that I see quite often in what I do is that the smaller an organization, you kind of get this sense of nobody really cares about what I'm doing, or maybe based on the type of business that you have, the type of data that you have, you may feel like nobody really cares about what we're doing. We're the small fish. Nobody's going to interfere with any of anything that we're doing. Nobody's going to try to hack in. Nobody's going to steal our data. And what that means is that we've kind of looked at it in a vacuum, right? Because it doesn't matter what size your organization is. COVID-19 impacted every single one of us. And it doesn't matter what size the organization was when Katrina hit. It doesn't matter, was it Maria and Irina, I think, that came through St. Thomas in Puerto Rico. It doesn't matter how small you may see yourself and how small you may view your business. All of these types of things can impact you. And what are you going to do when that happens? So it's really about opening our eyes up, realizing that things can happen, and that we need to have a plan. No matter how big you are, how small you are, you need to have a plan. It needs to be organizational wide. What is every aspect of this business and how can it be impacted? Do I have several locations? Do I have the combination of on-site and remote workers? Do I have contractors and subcontractors? What does it take to make this business run? Do I have IT pieces? Do I have medical devices? Do I have other proprietary type devices that are important? Think about government contractors who may have equipment, machines, and software that helps them create some product for our federal government or for the Department of Defense. How do I continue to work in an emergency situation?
And it like you said, it affects, people tend to think, well, I'm a small entity or whatever. And COVID-19 really kind of brought to the forefront. Take a look at a lot of those large organizations that just shut down operations just in the last 3 or 4 months, right? Yeah. They're popping up left and right. If it's going to happen to them, it can happen to anybody. And honestly, some of the smaller companies are probably more susceptible. They just don't necessarily have the cash flow to shut down operations for an extended point in time. So having that business continuity plan and starting to have those conversations and figure out, what can we do? Now's the time, right? The time isn't when the incident happens. Now's the time to do it before the incident happens.
Yeah. During the incident, that when you're in the trench, that's the time for action. You should have already trained for it and had some muscle memory in place to just put it into play. So it sounds like, and maybe this is I'm sort of feeling like in terms of COVID-19, we're kind of in a, the dust is settling a bit and we're moving forward. I say that a month out of my kids being home and not actually going back to school. So I'm just lying to myself. I'd just play along. Is there, it sounds like an organization needs to have like an audit, so to speak, of their business to discern where all the landmines are, to figure out where their gaps in coverage may be. Is there some sort of risk assessment that a company or organization can put into place to sort of start the ball rolling on developing a business continuity plan?
Yeah, so that's a couple, you really are, there's a couple of things that are addressed in that, right? So a business impact analysis, which looks at, you know, what do we do? Who does it? Where does it need to go? What is our tolerable time for it to be down? And then when we talk about just, you know, looking at risk, now what we need to do, and I think Andrew referenced this a little bit earlier, this is something that I do risk assessment with my clients, and I always do it in conjunction with whoever their, I hope, professional IT is. We need to, first of all, what is it that you have that you need to protect? So we need to identify that. What is it that you have that could be impacted in whatever the circumstance may be? What are your threats to that? What are your vulnerabilities surrounding that? What's the likelihood that you're going to have a problem? And so then from there, I can determine what our risk is. And then once I've done that, I need a risk strategy, right? I need to identify what my tolerance to that is. I need to think about, you know, different assumptions as we move into that and what are the constraints as we move into that. And then make sure that we've got that plan that, you know, hey, we have looked at everything that we can think of humanly possible. We have identified the threats and the vulnerabilities to that. We have identified the likelihood of impact. And here's a plan that we have. All of that said, I am smart enough to know that you can plan for everything that you can possibly think of, every possible foreseeable type of emergency. But you know what? We're always having to go in and rewrite a little bit of that because there's always going to be something. It's kind of like, you know, you make all these rules for your kids and you think you've got it all locked down and then they do something and you're like, why didn't I think of that?
I did
because
not plan
now I don't
for that.
Have anything, right? Yeah. And so that's what this is about, right? It is a living document, as Andrew said, because as things happen, we're going to have to consider those. Nobody was thinking pandemic. I mean, really, most people just think IT. Nobody was thinking that pandemic for sure could impact our businesses, but look how it has, right? And this is where we got caught very unaware and not with the plans that we needed and unable to, you know, for some businesses to continue to operate, to continue to sustain themselves in this time and, you know, big and small organizations alike. So we've been thrust into the middle of an emergency and forced to try to work our way through it instead of having a plan that would help us.
Yeah. And just looking at, you know, IT is just a small portion of that. But if you take a look at COVID-19, IT wasn't necessarily the issue with a lot of places shutting down. Look at the hotel industry. Look at the airline industry. It's people just are choosing and they're, you know, they're not going out as often. They're not traveling as often. So, you know, it's, you have to kind of shift and change with the landscape of what's going on around you. And although IT is a part of that, especially on the disaster recovery side, when you're trying to get everything back up and running as smooth as you possibly can, you have to take a look at that big picture and just people's lives are changing and the way that they're actually doing that and whatever services you provide, you have to be able to change with them.
Yeah, I think, you know, with what Andrew said there is that I hope that this is a time when, you know, people realize, so Andrew, you know, said, hey, IT is a part of this, but it's not the only part of it. And I hope if there's one thing that businesses have learned, that entities have learned, is that it really isn't just about your IT. So if you go into the pandemic thinking, well, all of my IT is stable, there's not a problem accessing my data, then you're really going to be caught unaware because this type of a disaster, emergency slash disaster, didn't necessarily impact IT. It impacted everything else about your business. And we should be thinking about those. The airlines this was nothing that they had planned, that there's going to be a pandemic and fewer people are going to fly and we're only going to be able to fly at X capacity. And what does fuel cost us? What do our planes cost us? And are we going to be able to sustain? Is the government going to have to bail us out? And that's why we are seeing the government right now having to look at bailing out the airline industry, because obviously you can't, if you fly a plane for one person, that is losing all the way around, right? Amount of fuel, the upkeep on the airplane itself, the pilots, the staff. There's a lot that still has to happen, but there's not income that is coming in.
Yeah. And some of this, I think y'all sort of hit the nail on the head in terms of a lot of planning. I think it's great. You've definitely got to have that technical plan in place and you've got to have your, but there's this huge issue of people. That to some degree you can plan for and predict, but you also can't. There's still, even in your plans, at Empower Source, we'd like to say our plans have plans, but that is important and effective to have, because then you're able to pivot more quickly. But I don't think many people could have, these are the following inconveniences for me in terms of COVID-19. I feel like we were all set up in terms of tech to really be successful, but I was not aware that it would be difficult for me, the supply chain logistics at the stinking grocery store. In terms of toilet paper, which I actually am okay with toilet paper. I have four kids, so I was already stocked up. But here, hello, DiGiorno cheese pizzas are hard to find. And what has really negatively affected me is Diet Dr. Pepper. There's no longer sweet. So there's no fake sweeteners anymore, apparently. There used to be, but now we've reached the point in, I guess, the grocery supply chain logistics plan that they did not plan for. They do not have their fake sweeteners at Dr. Pepper. And so now I am stuck drinking coffee like a grown-up.
Well, I have always kind of sat back and thought about the people that we would call preppers. And I've just kind of thought, what are you going to do with all this stuff that you're hoarding and stocking? And then COVID-19 happens. And I'm like, they don't have to go to the grocery store. They don't have to worry about if Dr. Pepper is run out. They don't have to worry about if there's no toilet paper, because these people were prepared. But you know what? Just like those, we have those individuals in our population that we would call preppers, who are thinking about whatever disaster, whatever emergency, whatever apocalypse may happen. We really have to get ourselves there in the business world. We have to make the assumption that something can happen that will impact our ability to continue doing the work that we do. And we've got to have a plan for how we're going to continue to make it work through that disaster, or if we even can, because some businesses may not be able to continue to do anything. Yet COVID-19 and we shut restaurants down. What are you going to do? How many people can you viably have in your business paying them when you can't afford to buy supplies because you don't have your customer base? I can't pay the light bill. I can't pay my employees. I can't pay for anything. And so there is a lot that we should be thinking about, especially I think now. We've had two really big things that have happened to us in the last 15 years. And it's really time to start making our plans and recognizing that I think as we go forward, more and more things are going to happen and we got to have a plan.
So, I'm a small business owner. I've hired you, Angela. You've come in, you've done my risk analysis, my risk assessment. We have set up our business continuity plan and it is fantastic. And we have made the binderiest binders you can imagine. And everyone has one. We're good to go.
Right.
How do we test this?
So anytime you are testing a business continuity plan, disaster recovery plan, testing backups, right? So do my backups work? This simply comes down to looking at what are the possible scenarios. And you can do a tabletop exercise if you want. You can actually run through a scenario if you want to do that. But, you come in one day and somebody says COVID-19 has hit. We've got a hurricane that's incoming. The building's been destroyed by fire, whatever the case may be, right? Now, let's activate our plan and let's make sure that everybody knows what they're supposed to do. And from that theoretical point that we're at, that position that we're at, that it actually all works.
So you have like a fire drill.
You have like a fire drill, right? And this is something that I would recommend. You know, it depends on the size of the organization. A large organization should probably be doing that on a quarterly basis, thinking about the different types of impacts and what can we, you know, if this happens, what are we going to do to make sure, because you got this huge organization, making sure that everybody in that organization knows what to do. Smaller organizations may elect to do that once a year or twice a year, but no matter who it is, it's important that if you put a plan in place, you test that plan, make sure you know how it works. It's just like medical emergencies and medical and dental practices. We plan for those. We train for those because we know it can absolutely happen. And we set up scenarios where X happens and what is everybody's role and what do they do and how do they respond to it?
I'll throw my process improvement hat on real quick. Exactly what you're saying there. And then when you go through a scenario like that, you're planning for it, you go through the scenario, you need to evaluate your results. So was everything successful? You know, what went wrong? What went really, really well? And maybe we need to capitalize that on other parts of the organization. And you take those results and you figure out, you know, what needs to change? You know, do you need to redo your business continuity plan? Do you need to take a better look at your disaster recovery or maybe something with the business impact analysis? You know, you take those results and you actually do something with it. And then you just kind of continue that whole process, that whole process improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And that makes sense because usually the first time you do something is the worst time you do something, right? And so you can look back on that and, you know, a lot of people will say to me, I don't understand how you take four kids by yourself to the beach. Well, I've done it 5 million times. And the first time I did it, it was a train wreck.
Just but don't get in the car going.
Yeah, but now we've got it down to a science. And I know which things were foolish to pack. No one is asking for healthy food. So just don't pack it. You know, but you can do that in an organization too and say, okay, if you run a test, this team did really well. What did they do? This team not so well, look at this team and you can really sort of make everything flow better so that when the emergency comes, it's not the first time that's going to be the worst time because you've done this before. And maybe it's a little bit different because it's a pandemic or maybe it's a hurricane or maybe there are protests near, maybe the emergency is there are protests near your place of business and everyone needs to find a new way to get into work.
Right.
You know, you've already sort of figured that out and can communicate to one another the best way to do it. So obviously these business continuity plans need to be updated when things change. I was going to say yearly, but it sounds like it needs to just be like anytime you notice a shift in what emergencies could be.
Right. It's an absolute living document. And, you know, just back to the testing piece of this a little bit, with my clients, depending on, well, really everybody should be doing this, but clients should be doing or businesses should be doing fire drills, right? So if a fire happens, what is your responsibility? You know, how are you going to get out of the building? How are you going to get patients, clients, customers out of the building? Where are you going to go? All of these different things. And so I always talk to my clients about doing that and not just, you know, doing the perfunctory, hey, there's an alarm, get out of the building, but actually set some scenarios up, right? So put some stuffed animals or some balloons or, you know, whatever it is throughout the business, throughout the practice, and make sure that everybody does their part. If I'm supposed to clear this area, I get everything and I get out of the building and how long does it take me and where do I go? And so I've always encouraged clients to do that. And it really hit home for me when I had a client tell me, you know, you've been telling us for years that we really needed to do an involved fire drill. We really needed to do more than just leave the building. And we just had a fire and it was a cluster. Nobody knew what to do because we had really never thought past just, okay, we got to do this. It's a requirement. So we're going to exit the building. But when the real emergency came, they found that they still weren't prepared because it just never was taken seriously enough. And so I think that's an important thing. I know we're probably getting close to closing this up. That's an important thing. You got to take it seriously. you've got to write the plan, you've got to communicate the plan and distribute the plan, and you've got to test that plan, and you've got to do it from a very serious standpoint, understanding that this could be a reality. And if it is a reality, I'm going to make sure everybody knows what they're doing.
Exactly, because particularly in the point of a fire, I mean, that's really a, in terms of life or death, I mean, not to sort of trivialize it, but it really, these really things are not just that can keep your business afloat, but can keep your employees and clients alive, depending upon what the emergency is. Now, one last thing I do want to talk about, like in terms of business continuity, and I now know I need a plan. I need to have tested the plan. I need to make sure that everyone knows the plan and that I've got my tech set up so it can be done. What, in terms of what I need, in terms of, I'm thinking a lot of businesses have stuff stored in the cloud, right? Would that be correct, Andrew?
That's true.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, a number of people actually use cloud solutions, or SaaS, if you want to call it software as a service. And they use that because it's, you know, it's less overhead on them. You know, they don't necessarily have to have all the equipment and the tech and things of that nature. And it's a little bit easier if it's just in the cloud somewhere and they don't have to worry about it. But something that has to be considered is, just because something is in a cloud solution or something is a SaaS, you still have to have a business continuity plan. You have to ask yourself, what happens if your SaaS provider disappears? What happens if they go under? You know, we're talking about a number of corporations that just can't seem to get afloat or stay afloat over the past, you know, several months. What if your cloud solutions provider can't do that? What if you lost access to your cloud solutions? Like, say, for instance, there's a hurricane or tornado or something like that, and communication is just down. Just because your infrastructure is somewhere outside the state, if you can't access it, you can't access it. You know, what are you gonna, how long can you live without that access? Will you relocate some of your personnel outside of a state or outside of an area just to be able to work? So just because something is in a cloud solution or something is in a SaaS, you still need to have some type of business continuity plan and think of those things.
That's exactly. I mean, basically, there's a lot of things you said that I understand the words individually, but when you put them together, not so much. Communications is my forte, not tech stuff. But basically, it just seems like what I need to do as an organization is to get a risk assessment, to get some sort of analysis of my business, to make sure that first I know where all my risk are, and then how to address them, and then make a plan on how to address them in terms of moving my business forward so that it can be as seamless as possible. Absolutely. That'd be correct. All right. Well, thank you. Well, now I know who I need to hire. Definitely. I need to make sure that Proactive is in place so they can do all the tech stuff, and Angela can be there to make sure that it's done all properly.
There you go.
Planned for.
We actually do CentraVance, and actually, so the whole MCH Concepts family, EmpowerSource, CentraVance, Proactive, we all work together to make sure that those plans are comprehensive, and that we can provide the best possible service for our clients, make sure that we hit all of the different areas. So, you know, what are the people and the processes and what's the operations? You know, CentraVance is looking at that. What do we need from a technical perspective to make sure that we are up and running, that we can stay up and running, that we can stay protected? And you know what? If something happens, do we need a crisis communication team? Maybe we do need somebody like EmpowerSource that can come in and help us craft our messages so that we say the right things and we say the things that people really need to hear and need to understand, and hopefully make them feel a little better about what's going on, because yeah, it's a bad time, but we've got a solution for you.
That sounds like a great way. Angela, let me have you plug CentraVance so that if people want to get in contact with you as sort of a starting point off, can you give us your information so that people know how to contact you?
Sure. My email address is angela@centravance.com. So that's ANGELA at Centravance, C-E-N-T-R-A-V as in Victor, A-N-C-E.com. Or you can call us directly at 804-977-1201. We are a starting point for you for your business continuity, disaster recovery, and we absolutely involve the expertise from our IT partner, Proactive Information Management, and from our marketing communications, crisis communications partner, Empower Source.
That is great. And you are on the web, and I will say your website is in the middle of getting updated and redone, and it is looking beautiful as we move forward. But you are on the web at www.centravance.com. And Andrew, how do we get in touch with you at Proactive Information Management?
The best way to get in touch with me is basically through my email. So it's ablaze, A-B-L-A-I-S. At proactive-info.com. You can also reach out to our support line, which is area code 804-897-8347. And we have all those solutions that we were talking about, whether it's a managed services or data center solutions or consulting services. We're here to help.
And y'all are also on the web at www.proactive-info.com. And my name is Elizabeth Johnson Phillips. And despite all the I have said today, I work in communications. It can help you with your crisis communications at Empower Source. We actually have an ebook on our website right now that deals with crisis communications. And that can be found at www.empowersource.com. That is, I always have to close my eyes while I say this, MPWRSource.com. And I can be reached at ejphillips@empowersource.com. And I want to thank Andrew and Angela for being here today with me and discussing business continuity. I know it's everyone's favorite topic to discuss early in the morning as their caffeine kicks in. But I want to thank you guys for being here with me today and discussing ways we can help businesses keep the ball rolling in trying times.
Always a pleasure, Elizabeth. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thanks so much.